Are you an entrepreneur looking for more free time, more money, or just looking for that success blueprint? The Proven Entrepreneur is the podcast for you. Host Don Williams and his guests share real success stories from proven entrepreneurs. Here's your host, Don Williams.
Hey, Don Williams here with today's episode of the Proven Entrepreneur Show. Man, what a treat. I've got a power couple for you today. Richard and Shalon Clark joining me, both entrepreneurs. Richard and Shalon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
So grateful to have you. Ladies first, let's start here. So you're an entrepreneur in your own right.
Yes.
Okay.
A new baby entrepreneur.
Oh, I love new baby entrepreneurs. I love them. And I love people that are taking, and people, the audience knows, people that are taking that first entrepreneurial step.
Yes.
Okay. So your professional training is?
As an attorney. I practice commercial litigation, work at Big Law. I made equity partner last year.
So congratulations.
Also in firm management. So I'm doing all of that on that side. And then my business at night and weekends.
Okay. Awesome. Well, you know what they say, if you want to get something done, give it to somebody who's busy.
That's what I hear.
They'll get it done. So congratulations on your promotion of the firm.
That's
big doings. And tell us about your entrepreneurial effort.
Yeah. So I started Design Redefined in 2020. Just like everybody else, the whole world stopped. I was pregnant with my third, and I started thinking about, as friends and family and coworkers were dying from COVID, it really made me start to think about what was on my bucket list that you always think you have more time for. And one was writing a book, and one was opening an interior design company. So I did finish my book. I took a writing class while I was pregnant, a virtual class, and I was still doing my homework as I was giving labor, and I finished the book before maternity leave ended. And then I started Design Redefined like in November 2020, and my husband, he's always into something. And so we had flipped houses starting about 7 years ago. He just came home and was like, I bought a house and you're going to design it. And then I'm opening a new restaurant and you're going to design it. And so I just kept looking back over my life and realizing, and plus we had built our own homes and people would always come in and
compliment. And I'm guessing you designed it.
Yes, I designed it. And people would always compliment and say, who's your designer? And I'm like, me. And will you do mine? Absolutely not. I'm not a designer. I'm just a lawyer. That was my whole thing. I'm just a lawyer. So after a while, I just started looking at my portfolio. I had three restaurants, three homes. And I was just like, well, maybe I am an interior designer and a lawyer. So my tag is the lawyer designer. And I put my first post on Instagram with zero followers. And my husband's like, what are you doing? Nobody's going to see it. You don't have any followers. You got to post it on Facebook. And I'm like, no way. I'm not posting my design on Facebook. There's lawyers and judges that follow me and they're going to laugh at me and they're going to think I'm not serious about practicing law. And he's like, you just have to. And so I did. The outpouring was very, very positive. And most of my clients, and including my first client, were other lawyers. So
I love that. And I'm being a little humorous here. I wonder how many third year law students, their heart skips a beat when they hear you say, I'm just a lawyer. I like lawyer designer so much better.
Yes.
So awesome. Richard, tell us about your entrepreneurial journey. What are you doing right now? What's getting your time and effort?
I own a hospitality company, the Personal Hospitality Group. So we have two restaurant brands, the Island Spot, Jamaican Kitchen and Bar. We acquired Bone Daddy's House of Smoke brand last year. And we have our first villa in Jamaica that we're launching later this year called the Island Spot Villas as well. So that's what I do. I'm in hospitality. I'm passionate about food, sometimes a little bit too passionate, if my waistline can tell you.
I understand.
I am really looking to share cultural cuisine to the broader masses on a consistent basis. So that's what we do.
I love that. And I just want to know, did you start any of the companies and come home and say, oh, honey, I started a company today?
Well, I may have found somewhat. Well, it started when I was background as a consultant. So I was in, after business school, I went to do consulting at McKinsey. And beyond that, moved on to corporate America. But while I was at McKinsey, they went to the number one ranked Jamaican restaurant at the time for my birthday for a team lunch. And the experience was lacking. And it left me thinking this can't be the best that we had to offer. So when I left the firm and I started to work with my next phase, which was Dean Foods, was my client before, I felt like I had a little bit more time and I wanted to do something about it. And what I wanted to do was to change the way people experience Jamaican food and my culture personally. I started at that. I had a friend who was a chef, I had a restaurant on the weekends. I did come home and say, hey, I've decided to go in partnership with someone. I'm going to fund a restaurant. And she was looking at me like I'm crazy. But that led to this whole journey that I'm on right now. So as in a restaurateur, I did the only thing you can do, which is fail within the first year and close the store. But we did reopen it. And we've had that store. That was the first island spot. We've had it for 13 years now by myself. We've opened other locations. And since then, I've moved from just trying to change the way people experience Jamaican food and cuisine and starting to look at more broad cultural palette and how do we create opportunities for people to try amazing food that has a unique cultural bend, but has a more of a broad appeal. So we acquired our first other group, which is Bone Daddies. We took the whole concept and now we're thinking of how to reimagine it and grow it again. So that's what we do.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. That's kind of where you're at today.
Yes.
I'm going to take you all the way back to like 5 years old, up to 18. So your childhood home.
Okay.
Shalon, was someone an entrepreneur?
Well, that's a good question. I was about to say no immediately, but then I think about my mom, who was a burn intensive care unit nurse who retired at the age of 40 to start doing MLMs, multi-level marketing. So that is entrepreneurial.
For sure.
And left that career behind and she never went back. So I guess in some way I had was exposed to making it on your own and leaving the comfort of and security of a good paycheck.
And hustle, hustle, hustle.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Awesome. Richard?
So mine didn't really go by the name. I say entrepreneur, but my family had a shop that we ran. So I grew up in it. So I realized later on that I grew up on entrepreneurs. So my grandmother opened this small grocery shop and my mother took it over. When I was five, I actually started to work in a shop because I was really good at math. So I was actually calculating the bills. And from then on...
Accounts payable officer at five.
Yes. And eventually I got to a point where I was doing most of running it at 13 before I came to college in America at 18. So I grew up around entrepreneurship.
Okay, awesome. All right, so we're through our early childhood years. You're 18, you're either going to university or backpacking across Europe or you join the Navy. What was next?
Well, I always knew I wanted to be a lawyer since I was 9 years old. So okay. Went to University of Houston, got a finance degree. Then I went to the University of Texas School of Law and got my law degree.
Okay, very good. Knew what you wanted.
Absolutely.
When did it?
Yes.
Love that.
Clerked for a federal judge for 2 years, then came to Hush Blackwell, where I still practice law.
Awesome. Thank you. Richard?
So mine is a little bit different. I knew I wanted to run businesses, but I didn't exactly know what specific field, as Shalon did with law. So came here, did my undergrad in physics. I was really good at math, so I leaned into that. After that, went on to do my MBA in strategy and finance. Post my MBA, went on to McKinsey, did consulting for 3 years, joined Dean Foods, running their business analytics function, and then eventually moved to Borden Dairy, where I ended as the chief procurement officer, running over $1 billion of spend and ran M&A for them as well.
Awesome. Okay. So thinking back in your young entrepreneur career as the wife of an entrepreneur, who might tell you, hey, I bought a house today or a business. Would you share a hard lesson? Something that happened that when it happened, not even taking your breath away, ooh, don't like it. That hurts. But now after some time has passed, you can look back and say, maybe that was the best thing that happened. You have a hard lesson you can share with us?
Yeah, I don't want to take over his hard lessons.
Go ahead. I'm sure he has more than one.
The worst one was the first island spot, and I was already a practicing attorney. However, he had already entered an agreement with his former partner where he put in all of the money and took 40% of the equity. And so that didn't work out well. Let's just fast forward. I was just like, get an attorney, draft an agreement. Don't put in all the money in that have the equity. All there's lots of lessons there. But I think he learned it the hard way. Yeah. And we were able to open the restaurant back up after it closed. We opened it just in time for our wedding. It fed 250 people. We were able to bring in family. So I think looking back, it's probably the best thing that ever happened because now he won't do anything without a lawyer. Like permission to sneeze legal.
Yes.
I think that was probably a good lesson. And so many entrepreneurs, I think, early on, kind of want to wink at legal and governance and compliance. Mm-hmm. And then typically there's an issue. And from that point on, they're like, okay, much as I want to wink at it, going to have to actually consult the service of a competent attorney.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Okay. So another hard lesson you could, you know, typically when I ask about a hard lesson, entrepreneurs like, okay, how much time do we have? I got a couple. Do you have another one you could share with us, Richard?
Yes. So to go with that, actually, you got to explain a little bit more. So as you're going through the process and making sure that you're vetting who you're going into business with, that's one, but also why you're going into business. So when that restaurant failed, I reached a certain level of almost like depression. And it so happened that that depression kind of coincides when I'm getting married. So I felt like I lost out of my engagement period. The partnership fight started literally after I proposed inside the restaurant. So you lose a certain part of your life they feel like you're never going to get back. That's one. But the other part that goes with it is just you go through it's almost like a trough of sorrow where you're trying to figure out, is this really what I wanted to do? Why do I want to do it? And if it's something that I wanted to do, can you get through it? Because there's no explicit way that someone's going to tell you this is what the outcome is going to be. I just wanted to get through and make that one restaurant successful. I wouldn't think that I would be opening more and those others created their own headache and then buying this brand, and that brand came with its own headaches. So it's really trying to learn why you're doing things. And you know, me and Shalon talk about this the most, which is stop looking at the end goal and start to enjoy the journey, because really that's all you're promised. So I am learning to stop looking at the end goal. I really like to look at the goal and plan and strategize, and things are going to blow. So being in the journey and enjoying that process is what I'm learning right now.
Yeah. And I think it's not so much just not looking at the end goal. Of course, that's there, but not thinking I'll be happy when.
Yes.
Because God is a God of balance. There's always going to be happy and sad with each situation. And so one of our favorite verses is in Paul when he says, whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. And really understanding what that means. It's not complacency. It's finding the joy in any situation you're in and enjoying the journey all along the way.
I love that. So a couple of years ago, I wrote a book on gratitude. Mm-hmm. And, you know, scripture tells us to be thankful, mm-hmm. grateful in all things. And it's really easy to be thankful and grateful for the
good things.
But mm-hmm. that's really easy. Mm-hmm. But it's sometimes a little harder to find your gratitude in something that's more of a challenge.
Yes.
But the one thing we know, and the name of the show is Proven Entrepreneur Success Stories, but we know that part of the success journey, failure is not the opposite of success. It is part of the success journey. Yes. You cannot succeed without failing.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean you're a failure. It just means you had an event.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That you failed. Now we're moving on. We're going to do something differently. We learned, you know, I think you either win or you learn, and learning is just a little slower winning.
Yes.
So, okay. Wife, mother, attorney, entrepreneur. I'm not sure when you sleep.
Okay. Never.
If I were going to get you to share a nugget from the Book of Wisdom of Shalon, so something that you view near and dear to your heart as true wisdom in your life, what would that be?
No, it's so broad. Yes. True.
That's why you got the question.
It's coming for you next.
You're going to sit there and think while I'm thinking.
We can go to Richard.
I can jump in.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So I've learned, I live by a principle right now, which is that I have two types of balls that I'm juggling. I have glass balls and I have rubber balls. And I try to think about which ones are which. So I've learned that my family, my wife and my girls, are a glass ball. My faith is a glass ball. My business, sometimes I think it's a glass ball, but it really is a rubber ball. Some of the things that I do, my peers, my hobbies, all those are rubber balls. As I'm juggling, I can let the rubber balls drop. Those can be bouncing back. I can catch it again. It may come back dirty. It may come back with all the things that I have to brush it off, but I cannot let the glass ball drop. Because when the glass ball drops, it shatters. And that's going to be the hardest thing to put together. I learned that because I've had situations that I've not been sufficiently thinking about that. And you realize what's really important. So yes, when we're going through the challenge of the business and that store closed, it proved itself to be a rubber ball because we reopened the store and we brought in new people and we figured it out. When I have people on my team that I feel really strongly about, that we talk about, that we pray for this person, and the person comes in, we think they're the perfect person, and then they quit or they steal, right?
You realize or fight
and
all
those sexually harass people.
Or they steal, then fight, then quit.
Yes.
So all those happen and I realize they are rubber balls. It's not that something I'm not trying to juggle. I'm still trying to juggle it. I'm still trying to balance all of that stuff. But I just have to know which ones are unbreakable. You cannot drop it because that's something that will be a lasting impression on my life. So that's what I live by now.
I love that. And with permission, I'm sharing that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things. I'm going through a transformation right now, I think. And so that's why it was hard for me to answer because there's so many things. But yes, I'm a mom of three. They are 6, 4, and 2, about to be 7, 5, and 3.
You got a busy house.
Yes. Equity partner in firm management. Then I have this business on the side, which I'm so careful about my reputation. I don't want it to mess up my law career. So I'm always just thinking about what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, what I'm saying. And it's a lot. It is. And then I'm helping Richard with the businesses, designing the villa in Jamaica overseas, something I've never done before. So much. And I've realized that I had capacity beyond my imagination. Everyone has a negative voice in their head telling you what you can't do and how could you possibly. And I've broken past that barrier. And now I'm at a capacity that is actually overwhelming. And so now I'm on the other side of that saying, learning the importance of no. And so I'm really exercising my no. Just because I can do it doesn't mean I should. And just because there might be a benefit doesn't align with my highest priority of benefits. And I'm still learning, but that is really what I'm focused on. Like you said, when you said entrepreneurs always think there's a next step, you never think you've arrived. And I've had to take a moment to say, yes, Shalon, you arrived. You can say no just because you don't want to. Yeah. No other reason.
Yeah. and you don't have to articulate the reason.
Yes.
If somebody can ask, you can say no.
No.
Thank you.
Yes.
And be done.
Yes.
And sometimes entrepreneurs have a hard time with that. So I love the glass balls, rubber balls, and I love exercising my no.
Yes.
So one of my favorite quotes, and I'm a big believer in wise words, and I don't care, really care where they come from, if it's Aristotle or Socrates or Jefferson or whoever. But my favorite quote of all time is, you're far better, far smarter, and far stronger than you think.
Absolutely.
And I love that quote. Yeah. And I think that applies to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who that is?
No.
That's Christopher Robin in Winnie the Pooh. And he's by far my favorite philosopher. He's by far my favorite quote.
I love that. Yes.
So, okay. I'm going to put you in a time machine.
Yes.
I'm going to send you back, give you about 90 seconds to talk to your 20-year-old self. Remember how smart you were?
Mm-hmm.
How you knew everything? Okay. Or I did. But put you in the time machine, go back, talk to your 20-year-old self, share one or two things, a minute or two, that you know now you wish your 20-year-old self knew then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm going to say, who goes first?
Mine is not going to be 90 seconds.
That's all right.
I think I would tell my 20-year-old self, all is well.
Oh, good.
That I have spent all of that time, all my childhood, up until probably the last 2 years ago, so full of anxiety about the future. Mm. And if I had just known that no matter where, how it goes, good or bad, it's all going to be okay. And I would just want to send that calmness to that 20-year-old anxious. What am I going to get into the best law school? Am I going to be the first Black female U.S. Supreme Court justice? Is it just all of these things that I was worried about. And nobody can see me do this or say that. And I would just say, all is well. It's all going to be okay.
I love that. I think everybody can chill just a little bit. Yeah. Okay, Richard.
I would tell myself, you're enough. And you continue down the path that you are on, and it will be enough. So growing up, my father left when I was 9. I didn't see him again until I was 28. I came from a fairly tough neighborhood, real high crime. You have situations that you don't really know things are going to work out. You put pressure on yourself because I was young as a 4. My older siblings had a different dad, so I was by myself with my mother when my father later on. And so it kind of feels like I am trying to chase while I run away from at the exact same time. I'm trying to change a future to change kind of my family while I run away from the history of either who my father was or my community was, all those different things. And understanding that you don't have to be either the forward or the backward, but you can just be within yourself and you're going to be enough. Can try to create the path, but most of the things that happened to me that were pivotal in my life was because of grace. So I didn't have the ability to influence grace. Grace was just given to me by God. So just in myself and doing the things that I can do, not worry about what's going to happen in the future, not worry about what's happened in the past. And it's looking at the past as being appropriate for the journey that I'm on because God put me there. And just be within myself and do what I can. That's what I would tell myself because I realize that, you know, I always have a goal that I'm shooting towards and I always have something I'm trying to leave behind. And that is draining to be in so many different realms at once. It's easier to be in a prison.
Thank you for sharing. Many people in mental health today would tell you that anxiety lives in our future and depression in our past. When we live in the present, that's where we're healthiest.
Yes.
So, okay, Shalon, somebody wants to reach out to you either about designing or they need a commercial litigator. Okay. How do they find you?
Yes. So for commercial litigation, Hush Blackwell, I'm right there on the website, handling all types of business and commercial disputes. For interior design, www.yourdesignredefined. And I'm also on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you. And Richard, we reach out to you.
So you can get me by email, richardthomas@tphhe.com. I'm on LinkedIn and I'm always looking for the next, as I call it, culturally equivalent brand to acquire and put in our platform. So if you're interested in transitioning your business, let me know. I'll be happy to have a conversation with you.
Awesome. And he'll tell you that later that
day. Yes.
Yes.
and designing it.
Yes. And you will be designing it. So thank you both so much for bringing your wisdom and your candor, your authenticity to the show today. I'm grateful.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. That's today's episode of the Proven Entrepreneur Show. See you next time. Bye now.
That's today's episode of the Proven Entrepreneur. Go to provenentrepreneurshow.com, subscribe to the show, leave an iTunes review, and you could win a $25,000 VIP day in Dallas with Don himself. And get Don's easier and faster selling with video course free. Please join Don on the next episode of The Proven Entrepreneur.